kind of honor. Just glory to God in the name of Jesus this morning. You know, it's interesting as the children of Israel were going out on their journey, they wanted to know the name of God. So they went to their leader in Exodus 3:13, and then then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of our father has sent me,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?'" What is his name? If you're going on a journey, starting a journey, I think you're going to want to know who you're following. You know, you're really going to want to know who you're following. Because you want to get there. And you want to get there safely. And he wants us to get there safely. And we're all on a great journey. Some are closer to the end than others. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes I felt really at the end lately. But some are just starting, but we never know where it's going to end. And there's all these perilous things that, as you well know, so many of you had to go through mountains and valleys and just the terrain, the territory. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And I don't even want to go into the interpretation of all that. I am who I am. I am who you need me to be is one interpretation. You know, you need a comforter, I am there for you. You need a healer, I'm there for you. You need, direction, I'm there for you. Remember that, young man. You need direction, ask him. He wants you to, you know, God always wanted to be more than a cloud, yeah, a pillar, a fire, or a burning bush. I mean, that's exciting. We like the excitement, don't we? Woo! I want to see that cloud, the burning bush, the pillar of fire. And they were following that. But God wanted to be more. There was too much distance, I think, between God and the ones he loved. He told, you know, Moses could not touch that burning bush. And we have a better covenant. We have a better relationship with God than that distant, fiery bush. God said, "I am the great I am. I exist for real." I mean, that's what he's saying. I am that I am. Then you shall say to the children of Israel, "I am has sent me to you." Well, I mean, I feel sent of God. You know, I'm a leader, a spiritual leader, and God has sent me, even this morning, to proclaim his name and his power and direct you toward him, to direct you toward the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's my calling on my life. And God was so really dissatisfied with really the relationship, because remember in the garden, there was a closeness, there was a connection, and that was lost. Explain that somehow. And God wanted it restored. So what did he do? Look over in John 3:16. We know it so well. Look over in John 3:16. For God Almighty, the great I am, okay, so loved the world, mankind, his creation. He so loved his creation, man, that he gave his only begotten Son. Emmanuel, we call him. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God wants to be with you. I don't care how surly you can be. I was surly this week, you know. Woo! Marriage is the closest thing to heaven, you know. But I mean, when you take vows, you said, I'm going to be with you 24/7, you know what I mean? And at the, you know, after you're retired, it gets pretty tight. But God wants to be with you 24/7. Young man, God wants to, you know, you walk out of here and go to school, God's going with you. They can't keep God out of school. You know, they can't keep prayer out of school. You could pray, can't you, Christ? You pray. You know, if you could take a smoke break in the line, you know, that's what we used to do, go in the right mid, just going. Oh, my gosh, you can take a prayer break. Go in there and pray. You get frustrated, just pray. God, help me. God, help me. Oh, my gosh, how much do I need that? I need him to be that ever-present help. And God knew that, so he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus. God becomes a verb instead of a noun. God becomes a verb through the action of sending his son. It's an action. God in action. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see what? God in action. God moving. God moving among us. God going with us. It says, the Son, whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, even in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the journey, you still feel that life of God in you. And it may come, you know, for me, it came in the hospital when somebody visited me, or my daughters were there to be with me. They brought life. When mine was draining out of me, they brought life and renewed the life in me by the love that they showed for me. I mean, some of my daughters, they worked, were at my side 24/7. They spent the night. They were serious about being with me. You know, and when the doctors came in, one would play good cop and one would play bad cop. You know, one would cry and the other would get mad, you know. Do you realize how important this man is to us? You know? Oh, they showed up, I'll tell you, because they know God. Yeah, one of the nurses says, well, you must have done something right, they're here. Oh, yes. Sometimes when you're raising kids, do you ever think you're doing it right? Not all the time. But it shows up. It does show up. All your efforts will show up. All your time, your energy, the love you have, and the care you have, it's going to show up eventually. It will. Trust me. And it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. God does not want to condemn you. There's no condemnation in Christ. No condemnation. But that the world might be saved through him. So, no finger of accusation. There is no finger of accusation from God. There's only the hand of healing, the hand of restoration. That's, you know, that's what God wants. Oh, I would love to go through this whole crowd and lay my hands on everybody's head and just know that God is not pointing a finger of accusation. Think of it. When he caught the woman in adultery, he was not pointing a finger of accusation. He wrote something on the ground. I don't know what, but he says, go and sin more and more. You are forgiven. And then he put an accusation in what? The Pharisees, the judge, the critics, the religious. Oh, he wouldn't tolerate that religious spirit. In fact, the first thing he did, right, Gail? The first thing he did when he went into the temple is freed the doves and the freed the doves and the in the temple. He turned over the tables, opened the cages. The weakest things, he was not going to let his beloved creation be used in that way. Oh my goodness. Think about it. Said he taught daily in the temple. And he went in. He said, I'll show you what religion does. It confines the weak. It uses his creation in a wrong way. He says, I'm here to do away with that. I'm here because the poor were the only ones that could take a turtle dove or a pigeon and use it as a sacrifice to free themselves from sin. Oh. And he came to liberate the poor. It's from the bottom up, the weak. He came for the weak. Trust me, he didn't come for the strong. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Have you experienced it? Oh my goodness. If you haven't experienced it yet, you will. There's a weak day coming. I mean, there's a time when that strength of manhood, is just going to drain out of you. And you're going to need God. Your creativity, everything that you have, you're going to have to, at some point, depend on God. Your brain, all of it, you're going to have to depend on God. And God wants to liberate you. He wants to free you in the name of Jesus right here. No condemnation, but healing. He wants to bring healing. Healing did not come from slaying pigeons, slaying doves. That's religion. That's religion. And he came to do away with that. Oh, God becomes a verb through the action by sending his son. Look over in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Then he said to Peter, but who do you say I am? I mean, that's a question for the world. I mean, he came to save the world, not condemn the world, not to judge the world. You know, and that's up for debate with a lot of people. But I don't see the condemning God. I don't see a condemning God. He didn't condemn me. He might have convicted me that I needed him, okay? Woo! This honky-tonk Stardust Cowboy, need the Lord. You need the Lord. Oh, my gosh. Boy, did I need the Lord. Such an image I had of myself, such an image. But he didn't come. Who do you say I am? The great I am. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God, Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, we were talking about the presence of God all last month, and we have to believe that Emmanuel, God is with us, even in those tough times, those difficult times. I got a ticket in the mail the other day. Oh my goodness, $100 camera ticket. Oh, don't you just hate that? I mean, you can't even argue with the police. You can't. I mean, it's awful. God was with me. I considered a donation to East Cleveland. They need the money. The roads are terrible. I don't even know how I went 35 and a 25. But, I mean, it just, that's how life is. Stuff happens, Bad stuff happens. And that's minimal to some of the stuff that I know all of you have gone through. But God is with you. God is with you. He said, what do you say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I can't tell you how many times I had to rely on that scripture. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's why a lot of current theology to me is difficult to handle. Okay, if he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you, how are you going to be left behind? I mean, some theology just doesn't make sense to me. Of course, I'm not a theologian. I'm just, you know, country preacher. You know, so I don't carry a lot of weight. I didn't write a book. You know, I don't have any speaking engagements like Sandy. She wrote a book too. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. You're well out there. But she needs God. She's gone through things where she's needed I am with her. Oh my goodness. And she's very transparent about it. That's what I love about it. Her life's been a mess. She'll tell you. She wrote a book about it. Oh my God. We could all write a book about where we messed up. Oh, long book. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And she's transparent, but she knows the love of God and the presence of God and the power of God when she was weak. Oh, she'll testify and testify of that. I'll testify of it. I don't even know how many times in my life, my, you know, dumb young life, God saved my life. God saved my life. To be here today, in this hour, to point you to him. Point you to I am. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. If you have known Christ, you're blessed with the revelation of who he is. Everybody doesn't carry this revelation. Jesus, a good man. He was a good man, you know. He was a prophet. He was, you know, I have conversations with people like that. Somebody told me they were just going to the boss, Mary. You know what I mean? I don't take that away from people. You know, how's that working out for you? You know, but to know, have a revelation of Christ in your life, having an encounter that changes your life, July 17th, 1979. Whew. I mean, it'll change your whole life. You know, God's not looking for Christians, okay? God's looking for followers. You know, a Christian today could mean anything. It's a noun. He wants a verb. Followers. Followers of Christ. What? He went to the disciples. They're in their everyday life. They're in the boats. They got their nets. And he says, follow me. They forsook their lives. They put away their nets. I mean, it was such a dramatic encounter that they forsook their lives. They had a revelation of who Jesus was. Wow. Do you carry that revelation? I carry that revelation with me. His encounter with me was so strong that it just changed my total life. They dropped their nets, their own way of doing things. That's what it's a picture of. He says, I want to make you fishers of men. Do men need Jesus? Yes, we do. Woo, we need Jesus. Do young men need Jesus? Yes, they do. Oh, we need to be in this hour followers of Jesus. Acts 10:38. I think that's where I was going. Acts 10:38, it says, Jesus, I think, is, let's look at that. Remember, I'm old, I can get confused very easy. 10:38, now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Whew, I like that, Nazareth. Now there's a no place. I mean, it's just a little no place. You think you're insignificant? Nazareth was nothing. Oh, I mean, with the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! Oh, the Comforter, the one called alongside to help you. The thing that bothers me about Christians is many of them don't ask the Holy Spirit to help them. And he says he's come alongside to help us. So they struggle through their lives trying to do it in their own strength, praising Jesus, okay, but not asking the Holy Spirit to help them. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. I mean, on the way here, oh, Lord, help me get out of the car. Help me get to the door. Help me get through worship. I said, Doug, God wants to change the whole service around. He wants me to preach first. He wouldn't go for it. Oh, my gosh. Because, I mean, literally, I said, man, can I make it through worship? I mean, that's how you can feel sometimes. You know, it's not that bad, but anyway. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with what? Power. Where's your power coming from? To resist the devil. To resist evil. To resist pointing the finger of accusation. Where's that power come from? Not my own strength. Oh my gosh, I can point the finger as fast as anybody. Whew. And we're going to be tried in the next months, years, and we're here right now. God wants us here right now to not point the finger or give the finger. Whew. Oh my goodness. Point the finger of accusation. It's so easy to find fault. But as followers of Jesus, not just Christians, okay? As followers of Jesus, we need to follow what he did. That's why we gather together. That's why we worship him. That's why you have a leader, leaders that point you towards him. That's who we point towards, him. I would be remiss if I didn't point you towards him this morning. They anointed him with power, and what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Followers of Jesus, go about doing good. That's what you're called. That's what you're called to do. To do good. And you have a whole instruction book of what it says to do good. And a demonstration by Jesus of how to do good. How to love. How to support. How to encourage. How to bless. Oh my goodness, how not to point the finger of accusation, but the hand of healing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Woo-hoo. Power, power, wonder-working power. Oh, to change things around you. For God was with them. That's the divine dance, folks. Whew. You, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, hokey pokey. That's the divine dance. We're dancing through life. Oh, you know I love to dance. Oh, dance. That's the divine dance, a circle dance of unconditional love with God and mankind. And there is a name for it, but I couldn't pronounce it. Whew. Followers do what the leader does. It's a demonstration. You know, let's go toward closer to where we think we are, which is the book of Revelation. People say, I don't understand this. You know, I understand a little bit of it, and there's enough, you know. And when you look in this book, take little bits of it. Take little bits of it. You know, it's a, people want to call it, what, Armageddon. Armageddon, what is that? What do you think, Armageddon? You know what Armageddon means? A revealing. It's a revealing. And who is it revealing? It says right there, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's all about seeing him high and lifted up in this hour. not being afraid, not being a fear monger. I mean, I could stand before you and just, you know, fear, give you fear. But no, that's not what Jesus did. That's not following Jesus. It's a revelation of what Jesus did, which God gave to show his servants. What's your name? What's your name? Who should I look for in this hour to help me through this hour? It says it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Looks like what he said. I mean, John, who was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, all right? I hope you're all in the Spirit this morning. Worship team tried to get you there. They did a wonderful job. You know, and Jesus manifests himself. I mean, read it. You know, golden hair and robes down to his feet. And I mean, it's such a beautiful revelation of him. It's an irresistible revelation of Jesus. You know, it's just not this, it's not the Jesus that we see through the Gospels there. It's a Jesus that's just irresistible. He's so beautiful that John falls on his knees. Whew. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ today. That's the revelation. And he says to the angel of the church of Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. Remember Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, and he says that they might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's a desire for his churches to be filled with the love of Christ. That's his desire. A revelation of Christ that so changes your heart that you can't do anything but love. Love those around you. Love those that know him. Love those that don't know him. Love that know he died for you and that don't. Love, and a tremendous love. That's what he's releasing in this hour. Not criticism, not judgment. Whew. And he says, these things I say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the gold lampstands. That's the church. Jesus is walking in this hour. You're not alone. He is walking through the churches. Church down the road, Journey Church. He is walking. He's present. He's an ever-present help in the time of need. He's there. He hasn't forsaken us. He says, I know your works. I mean, we try to do stuff for God, right? I mean, I try to do stuff for God and fail. You know, I said I was going to journal every day in January. I got January 3rd there, I think, you know. I mean, some things you just, I don't have a lot of follow through in a lot of things. How about you? He says, I know your works, your labors of love and your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. We know that, folks. It's hard. It's all around us. We get it, okay? There's a lot of bad stuff going on, and the news won't let us forget it. It won't. I mean, when I grew up, it was Walter Cronkite for, you know, 5 PM, and then the Pledge of Allegiance, you know what I mean, and next morning. But today, it's 24/7 of saying what's evil. What bad thing happened? It's right there, and you hate it. I know you hate it. You express how much you hate the evil. It says, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. There's been a lot of people in spiritual leadership that have disappointed other people. But who do we look toward? Those people? No, we look to Jesus. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ, not of a man, okay? not of a spiritual leader, not of a politician, okay? It's a revelation of God himself that we follow. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that's going to bring us to the finish line. No matter who's in power, he's going to bring us to the finish line. It says that's what the whole book is about, really. It's getting to the finish line. The new heaven, the new earth. It's a book of hope, not Armageddon. It's a book of hope. It's a revealing of the hope that's in the world through Jesus Christ. Ooh, I'm so glad I found him. I'm so glad he found me. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, don't make me dance. Oh, my goodness. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Take this personally, folks. All of you have done this. I have watched you over the years, Kathy and Mike and others that I've known, Doug and Rhonda, and Pastor Sandy, you have labored. Pastors are some of the hardest working, messed up people I know. Marriages are out of whack, you know what I mean? I mean, they're serving God at such an intensity sometimes that they lose themselves. Trust me, I did. I was so enamored, you know, with ministry and that my priorities weren't always right. But I loved the Lord and wanted to work for him and give my life to him, you know? Oh, my goodness. He sees all this. He sees your patience. Oh, I know you're so patient with me. Oh, and not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Think about it. Think about it. What do you see? How many commandments are there? There's two. To love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, your whole strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart. That's why he gives this revelation, that we become so enamored with the beauty of the risen King that we can't do anything but walk in love. We can't do anything. A church that's walking in love will have such an anointing that everything in hell comes against us to do it. I am the first. I am the last. Don't be afraid. It's not time to be afraid. It's time to be hopeful. That's what I bring you, hope. That's what I'm supposed to bring you, hope. The first love is the word agape. It's unconditional love. But somehow we think we can put conditions on who we love and how we love them according to their lifestyle. No, he didn't say that. He says love unconditionally. You don't have to love bad behavior or evil behavior, but love never fails. Love never fails. First commandment, a new commandment I give you in John 13, that you love one another. Love one another. Oh. Now we're going to take communion this morning. And I gave Ron a little music video, you had that I want you to listen to during communion. You know, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. Wow, that's powerful. So as we move towards Easter and a picture of the crucifixion, I mean, you're walking that road with him right now. It's not easy. I have been crucified with Christ, but it's no longer I who lives. When we take this communion this morning, it's a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, but yours also. He wants to join you together in that place and share in that. Christ lives in me. The life what? That I now live. I can say that. The life that I now live. The now. You know, I might have messed up all last week, and I did. But the life this morning is the first day of the rest of my life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Whew. And if you're unloving and hateful and accusations and all that, it's all wiped out. You can start today as a lover. In the power of Christ, not in your own power, because you're going to be challenged. Woo, boy. Anybody get challenged this week to love? Let me tell you about that dog of mine. I mean, one of the prerequisites to marriage should be, do you like dogs? And the next one should be, how much? Woo. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I hear Chris laughing. They like dogs. They put pictures up on Facebook of their dogs. Oh, my gosh. And they got just a huge dog. Oh, my goodness. You know, I was raised in the country. We had a dog on a chain outside. Ooh. Oh, my gosh. What did I go there for? But anyway, I'm taking a sacred moment and making a mess. Oh, my goodness. We're going to take communion together this morning. And I want you to pick up the elements. Go back. You can get up. Pick up the elements. And Ron's going to play this song. And it's called I Am. There's no place. And I want you to hold on to those elements. There's no until amazing grace. You know that God's with you.
Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you.
Hold on to me.
I am a
cross of Christ and communion represent the tree of life. Not death. It's the tree of life. His resurrection is the tree of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. The paradise of God is not in the sweet by and by. It's right here. It's a higher place in the spirit. When you're going through something, you could go to a higher place and hold on to that resurrection power. Hold on to that hope. Hold on to that peace. Many of you have watched you do it. And this communion this morning is just a reminder of us holding on to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the revelation that you've given us of your love, of your grace, of your mercy. Lord, I ask you to just impart it, that people would hear, would just know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, all our understanding, all of our not getting it, it would go beyond all that to a higher place, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Fill us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.